Shortly after the resignation of Saint Celestine, Pope Boniface VIII was elected. Though Saint Celestine wanted to retire and resume his former mode of life, according to the disciples of Saint Celestine, Pope Boniface had other designs in his regard, and said that he did not wish him to return to his cell, but that he should accompany him to Campania. They even insinuate that Boniface began to bully the saint. The fact merely was that no one better than the new pope understood how simple Peter was, and how liable he was to be influenced by those in whom he trusted. He naturally feared that designing men, who hoped everything from Peter de Morone, might succeed in persuading him that he could not resign the papacy, and so that, especially in view of his popularity with the multitude, a dangerous schism might be brought about. He was aware that many had disapproved of Celestine's renunciation, and so he judged it better to keep him under his eye. Peter's subsequent conduct showed how well-founded were the suspicions of Boniface. The new pope had naturally decided to leave Naples as soon as possible, in 1295, and to go to Rome. Bidding Peter accompany him, he left Naples perhaps before December was out, but, at any rate, in the beginning of January, as he reached Rome on January 17th. Having told Peter to journey in his company, Boniface presumed that he would do so, and evidently did not order any very strict watch to be kept over him. Meanwhile, however, Peter had allowed himself to be influenced by those around him. They had put all kinds of ideas into his mind as to what Boniface intended to do with him. Among other things, they said that he was taking him into Campania to imprison him there. Arguing that he had only resigned in order that he might be able to lead the same sort of life as he had done before his election, Peter decided to return to it, despite anybody. He had left with quite a large company, including his former disciple, Angelarius, abbot of Monte Cassino. When, however, he reached San Germano, he quickly, with the aid of a priest, slipped away and returned to his cell on Mount Morone amidst the greatest manifestation of joy on the part of the people of all the country around. On hearing of his secret departure, Boniface was perturbed and justly annoyed. He feared that the simple monk had been induced to resume the papacy. He, accordingly, straightway dispatched his chamberlain, Theodric of Oveto, and the abbot of Monte Cassino to seek him. They had no difficulty in tracking him to his cell, where they found him giving thanks to God that he had brought him back there. They upbraided him for having gone off without the pope's permission, and bade him return at once, lest Boniface should be angry with him. Peter, however, replied by pointing out that he had resigned in order to be able to return to his former mode of life, and he begged the pope's messengers to entreat him to allow him to end his life in solitude as he had begun it. He undertook, moreover, not to speak to anyone but to his monks, extracting a promise from him that he would not leave his cell till they should return with the pope's answer. The messengers departed. On their return journey, they were met by another papal messenger, who informed them that they were to bring Peter back with them whether he wanted to come or not. Before the chamberlain could retrace his steps, word of his errand had reached the hermit, so that when the messenger reached the cell, Peter was not to be found. It was to no purpose that the chamberlain scoured the country, uttered threats, and offered rewards. Peter's hiding place was not to be discovered. However, the irate official seized the two monks whom he found in the hermit's cell, but as one was too ill to travel, he carried off the other, presumed to be privy to Peter's flight. The unfortunate monk was imprisoned in the rocky islet of Martena, one of the two little islands of the lake Bolsena. Here he died in a few days. Meanwhile, Saint Celestine was making his way to a certain wood in Apulia, in which there were a number of good servants of God, and which was about 4 day journey from his cell. Though clad in a most vile cloak, he was, we are told, everywhere recognized as he walked along, even by people who had never seen him before. In the wood, He remained concealed till Palm Sunday, March 27th. But when on that day a Benedictine abbot, searching for him, passed through the wood, Peter resolved to fly across the sea to Greece. Some of his monks, accordingly, engaged some sailors of Rhodi, on the coast below the northern slopes of Mount Gargano, to convey him across the Adriatic. For 5 or 6 weeks, however, storms and contrary winds prevented their putting to sea, and when, at last, they sailed out, they were driven back, and had to come ashore close to Vesti, only 15 miles from Rhodi, round the promontory. Again, for several days, the sailors were unable to launch their boats, and word reached the captain of Vesti that the ex-pope was in the neighborhood. Overjoyed at the news, the captain seized him and at once sent word to the pope and to the king of Naples and his officials regarding his capture. Saint Celestine's disciples tell us, on the one hand, that those good lords, the king's commissioners, treated Peter with as much deference as if he were still pope, and on the other hand, that many men were constantly urging him to reclaim the papacy, as he had no legal right to renounce it. All men were on his side. But, adds the biographer, I myself heard him reply, "Far be it from me to cause dissension in the church. I did not give up the papacy to take it back again, and I am still of the same mind, come what may." So great were the number of the saint's admirers who came to salute him on his journey, that at length his escort had to insist on traveling by night. By night also he was brought secretly into where the pope was residing, and lodged close to him. The next day he was brought before Boniface, and it was decided by the pope that Saint Celestine should be kept in safe confinement. He was, therefore, after being retained 2 months, while such a place was being prepared, conveyed by night to the castle on Monte Fermone, some 8 miles above Ferentino. The little town of Fermone, standing on a round, stony, isolated hill, and commanding the whole district, forms, like the Italian hill towns generally, as it were a large fortress, with its castello as a sort of citadel in its center. It was in a very small room in this castle that the ex-pope was confined, August of 1295. When he saw it, he gave thanks to God, exclaiming, "I have longed for a cell, and a cell I have got." At his request, 2 of his brethren, with whom he could recite the divine office, were allowed to remain with him. At first, they had to be changed frequently, as they could not endure the close confinement, but at length, 2 stronger ones were found who remained with him till his death, which took place some 10 months after his arrival. Though it is true that in Brother Peter's cell there was barely room to turn, we are assured that he never made any complaint about it, and it may certainly be said, to say the least of it, it was no worse than his cell on Mount Moroni. Hence it is that though Peter's cell was so narrow, and that no one was allowed to converse with him or his 2 companions, still contemporary historians, as a body, assert that he was treated with consideration. Death came in 10 months, and Brother Peter bore his confinement without any inconvenience.